Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCamera and John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Just heard from Boomer Esiason there. The heck with who was picked first or second. Let's talk about who was picked third. Congratulations to Vijay Edgecombe. Let's hope he lives up to it. It was obviously a choice between him and just a couple of others. And the Sixers last night went with the guard from Baylor. Look, we'll get into it today. We'll also get into the Phils. They lost again yesterday in really pathetic offensive fashion. Dombrowski also on the record on some things. We'll get to that. Look, we got a lot to do. A lot of audio related to Edgecombe last night. The Phils, obviously, and your phone call is 215-592-9494. It's Rich.
I really need charging cords, and I don't have any, Joe.
Okay, well, we'll help you out.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm limping. I mean, all of my electronics are completely limping along.
You got that brain thing, though, right?
I can remember. You know, you're here.
This fact, if I lose it before it
I remember it if you don't. No worries.
The Sahara.
Yes.
The Sahara Desert, up until 5,000 years ago, was a giant green grassland. Wow. This period was known as the Green Sahara period or the African humid period, and it was a huge habitable land area all throughout Africa. It's amazing. Until 5,000 years ago.
Well, those kind of things are wild. You know, I mean, the fact that the earth had, you know, so many changes obviously through the year. It's almost like how the Sixers could become good.
Very similar. How the world was all ice before.
Same thing.
Oh, here comes Rhea saving the day with a plug.
Whoa,
a charge.
Look at this thing.
And now Rich is hooked up. Here we go. By the way, speaking of...
I thought there was something else behind. I thought someone else was back here.
So our YouTube stuff.
Well, good thing
we got stuff behind
current
us.
Pictures. When was that picture from?
Maybe 2 or 3 years ago. So they got me in Fantasy Camp uniform behind me. Richie with his Snoop Dogg jersey behind him.
Yeah, you in your costume.
Yeah, that's what some people.
The Hammerway Bang.
I got to figure out if I'm wearing that versus Fritz in a couple weeks.
Hammerway.
All right, so let's get. Yeah. I might, James. You haven't thought about that? You haven't thought about that I could, like, wear the Phillies uniform? Come on.
Oh, I wasn't laughing at that. I was laughing at him saying the Hammerway Bang.
I think you should wear the uniform.
Just putting it all together. That's what I was laughing at.
Oh, yeah. No, that's tremendous.
I brought my old uniform in, too. That would make a nice addition, too.
We'll do it. We got time.
Can you see that it's Snoop Dogg on my...
That's a real old John Ritchie face right there.
Yeah, well, that's another
like
thing.
Old school Ritchie.
Is this from when we first did our show?
Yes, yes. That is like original John Ritchie picture.
So could we get a more like a current photo also?
We can do that. One thing at a time. All right, so let's get right to the announcement last night when Edgecombe was selected by the 76ers, third pick in the draft.
With the third pick in the 2025 NBA draft, the Philadelphia 76ers select Vijay Edgecombe from Bimini, Bahamas and Baylor University.
All right, so come on down. Edgecombe obviously going to be, you know, third or fourth guard or second guard. We'll see how it all sizes up over time. They are loaded at guard. But he's now one of them. I'll tell you, I'm excited. I love what I heard from him last night. Now, I was on the record yesterday talking about Ace Bailey, and if he does have better upside as perceived, not by all, but by some is better upside. That was, to me, very intriguing. But obviously, Ace Bailey dropped to an extent. How much was pre-draft and how much was actually just natural talent? Impossible for me and us to know. But we know this. The Sixers got a player in Edgecombe last night. A lot of people do believe is the third best player in the draft. So away they go with a loaded backcourt. And obviously, this whole thing's going to come down in the short term to whether Joel can do his thing. I think one thing that was very clear, and I'm sure a lot of people noticed it last night, was how likable Edgecombe was and is. Let's listen to Edgecombe right after being drafted. I mean, this is a minute or two later. He's being interviewed by Monica McNutt. This is on, of course, ABC and ESPN, all sorts of different combinations of coverage last night. Very likable. And here's what I want you to know about what you're about to hear. First question is to his mom. She's very choked up. Edgecombe jumps in there to kind of save the day and capture the moment. And then the second question, his brother's involved. This is some great stuff here. Listen to this last night.
Tell me, what's going through your mind, Mom?
I'm gonna tell her, man. Super excited. We came from nothing, man. We're truly blessed just to be in this position, man. I know the emotion is high right now, so I'm gonna just let her be right now, all right? But the emotion's super high, but we came from nothing. So that's why the emotions are so high right now, man.
In your feature, BJ, we saw you talking about playing basketball in the Bahamas, 12-year-old playing against men. I'm not gonna ask you, that's your brother. When you saw your brother at 12 playing against big grown men, did you think that tonight was possible?
I'm actually lost for words right now. My brother saw this dream before I did or before anyone else in my family even did. I'm so proud of him. He got me in tears and I don't even cry.
Man, I don't got no words either, man. I'm blessed. Me third pick. I mean, it's a dream come true, man. I spent countless years just sitting there watching draft, bro. So I don't even know. I don't know what to do, man.
You good, Mom? How proud are you of your son?
Proud. Super proud. Like you said, we came from nothing into everything. It's Bermany to the world. Bermany to the world.
So here's what I'll say, and of course we want to hear from you, your reaction, you know, if you've seen him play, if you watched last night, and your sense of what you're going to hear today at 215-592-9494. John, here's what I'll say. We all know, for us as 76ers fans, nothing's going to matter more. It's not. Nothing's going to matter more than whether he can really, really play and help this team in a big way for years to come. With that said, the way he presented himself last night and others presented him.
Holy cow.
John, for an organization that hasn't had a feel-good moment, probably since Tyrese Maxey saved the day in Game 5 versus the Knicks. I mean, literally, it's been like 14, 15 months since a feel-good moment. John, that was a feel-good moment last night, and I really hope he can play, because I'll tell you this. He, Maxey, and McCain, they seem to have that Brandon Graham spread joy nature about them, and I really hope these guys can lead the Sixers to something over time. Because we really need the Sixers to pick it up. And I'm very excited, John, based on what I saw last night.
Yeah, I forgot how to feel excited about the Sixers. I forgot how to feel inspired.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, Tyrese Maxey was doing that for us. When we would hear stories about him showing up at the gym at 5 a.m. and he was going to do three-a-days by himself, you know, hope to set it on fire for everyone else, you know, be the catalyst. Now it sounds like that we've got another guy who's willing to make those sacrifices and do the tough stuff, which is what you need to override the veteran privilege that exists within the Sixers organization.
Right.
You know, right now you got Joel and. I guess Paul. I guess Paul is up there, but not quite.
You know, I don't know
Joel
if Paul George
sits.
Is their second best player, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth. He's probably their third best player.
But he's
it's probably Embiid, Maxey, Paul George.
But I'm
but
sure
I don't
they
know.
Walk on eggshells for him, like they do with
probably.
Joel Embiid, and then you've got a young contingent that we have to hope that their character combination can now override the veteran malaise that exists.
Right. That's a great way to put it.
It could, because we saw with Tyrese and Springer. Springer's my guy, man.
Clearly.
Well, they got Grimes also. I mean,
Grimes' talent.
No, I know.
Got a lot of young, youthful, smaller, like going to pester you talent, which is exciting.
They'd also probably have a good track team. The thing is, you got to get a rebound and you got to block a shot and you got to have something in the middle.
Yeah,
so, like, this whole thing
in
the short term, this whole thing's going to come down to Embiid. We all know that. Everybody knows that. But I'll tell you, man, I was really psyched with what I heard last night, and obviously what I've seen, you know, looking at the videos and all of him playing. Now, you know, it's very interesting if you think they screwed it up by not taking Ace Bailey and the perceived higher upside. That's a perspective we'll welcome today if
this
you have it.
This feels so good. Feels good.
Well, it feels good to feel good about something with the Sixers. You know what I mean? Because we really haven't had anything in about 14 months to feel any good about with the Sixers. Now, let's listen to Daryl Morey. Let's get right to Morey because he spoke. Opening comment in his press conference last night, late last night, obviously. Morey opening comment talking about what Vijay Edgecombe brings to the team.
We're super excited about Vijay, what he can bring to the team. Brings a dynamic athlete, potential all-star, two-way player. Really helped his team. He's got all these winning qualities that we think really fit. Great teammate. His story and what he's done to get to this point is really unbelievable. And we think he's on a great trajectory to take where he's come from and continue to improve through Baylor all the way through a very long and very promising NBA career, and we're excited it's here at the 76ers.
All right, so there's a lot in there, and of course you can react in your sense of whether this is or is not a quality pick. 215-592-9494. You heard Daryl Morey reference his story. Let's give you a little bit more on his story by way of Vijay Edgecombe talking. I thought this was special. Special. This was on the NBA TV last night, shortly after being picked. This is a special answer. Listen to this.
What were the moments you remember most about just the way your mom poured into you throughout your life and your career?
Man, them long nights. Long nights. I'm telling you, I lived off a generator. I had no electricity. I lived off a generator for 7 years. Man, seeing what she had to go through? To feed us? Man, it's crazy. It's crazy, but I don't even know, man. My mind everywhere right now, man.
Now, that's awesome. Now, look, again, we know it's going to come down to whether he can truly play. We wouldn't be talking about Brandon Graham in the year 2025 if he didn't pick it up around the year 2013. And then 14 and 15 and 16 and 17. You got to be able to play for us to care 10 years from now. But I know this. He is considered someone who can play.
We got to work.
And he listen to what he said last night. There were zero answers that reminded you of Ben Simmons. Zero, okay? As for, you know, there was no entitlement from anything he said. He did have confidence last night with what he said, but it wasn't entitlement. And obviously,
it's so different.
And obviously, the backstory is special. James, your reaction to what you saw and heard?
I love this kid. He totally won me over. Obviously, what you guys are talking about with this story and all that, but like also just the entire, they pick him, and then for the next 2 minutes, I see on my screen, elite athlete in big letters. Yeah. Like, you watch what he does, the way he plays, him talking about, you said something yesterday that really stuck with me when you said it. We were talking about Trey Johnson and reading his, you know, positives and negatives. Yeah. And you were like, I hate guys who don't play defense. Right. I hate it. Yeah. I hate guys who don't want to play defense.
I do.
And this guy wants to play defense. I love the line last night where he's like, I hate seeing people score. I hate it. I'm like, yeah, dude.
Right?
Like, elite athlete. And I think the biggest thing we saw with the finals and kind of where the league is now, like, you can never have enough athleticism and shooting. And I know he's not there as a shooter yet, but it feels with the story, where he's gotten to, how he's gotten there, like, this guy has had to work really freaking hard to get to where he is. It feels like an opposite type of thing. Like, this feels like this guy's going to come in and work. I could be wrong, but it feels like this guy's a worker. And if he's going to work, I think the shot will get there. And the sky's the limit with the athleticism.
I hope you're having a great start to your Thursday morning. Edgecombe's got some of us going with his positivity and confidence displayed last night. Hopefully he can really deliver, because we as a town could use it, to say the least. You heard there in the update with Rhea, Phil's go down. Whimperish game. Now, Wheeler was awesome. Wheeler was Wheeler. By the way, he totally got job with that one run counting as an earned run. I mean, I don't know how in the world.
No.
That's an earned run.
Baseball is dumb with this.
It's ridiculous.
Like, it has gotten to the point where, like, what we grew up with as a hit and an error has completely changed.
Totally.
It can hit the guy's glove now, and they call it a hit. Like,
totally.
It's a clear play. Like, it's infuriating. I think
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I think it's because they want averages to be higher and they want the number. It's nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Zach Wheeler, I'm ticked off on that. I mean, it is insulting. I mean, it was obviously an error on Trey Turner, and, you know, it counts as a run. So that's a joke. Let's talk about last night's game, and then we'll get to the phone. So, look, we know the biggest at-bats in the game. The biggest was the eighth inning sequence when you got the bases loaded and you get back-to-back outs from Bohm and Casty. And the Bohm one's the killer. because it's less than two outs. You know, it's the classic put the ball in play, and you got a great chance to score a run. And, of course, with a base hit, you can score two runs, and you can, you know, essentially put yourself
to
win the game. Yeah.
Just get that ball out there, and someone scores.
Yeah, so that one, that sequence, Boehm, Cassidy was the ultimate killer. Fifth inning, now look, got to give Marsh credit, a couple hits last night, but fifth inning, he had a guy on third, less than two outs, and didn't get the job done.
It was two on, wasn't it? I mean, the guy was on third, but wasn't it two on and one out? I could be wrong.
What do you mean, 2-1?
Two runners on, wasn't it? First and third?
Well, it might have been. Yeah, I'm just saying it was guy on third for sure. Yeah. So, they're your big outs of the night. But then you have all your other outs. You have just the lineup didn't hit much. So
lineup, it's been, you know, 19.
They're missing Bryce, John. Yeah, I mean, these two games,
no doubt about
especially
it.
When you know Boehm's the one that came up batting third, when that would, you know, presumably been a bright spot in the eighth inning, batting third with the bases loaded and one out. And chances are he's going to put the ball in play. Might catch a hit, might win you the game, but at the very least going to tie it up.
You know, Ben Davis was talking yesterday about the, I don't know, how you have a certain number of hits in you. Like when you're trying to come back from a chronic situation, a chronic injury, which is what we think we're dealing with.
Right.
You know, you don't want to overdo it. It's sometimes doing nothing is the best approach. So if he's going to go 45 swings a day, you know, if he's going to go 50 swings a day, the thing that hit me while watching last night was, I don't know, man, maybe the team would be better served if you use them in a game situation, if you're going to do them anyway. You know, like if those are being used up, if you have a small quota, because you know you're dealing with a chronic, you know, wrist or whatever we're talking here, then let's,
you know,
rather
what?
Than practicing,
I think they're trying to get him right.
Just use it up when it matters.
Look,
in the game.
Well,
and
it's
get
a thought.
You out there to help the team because we could use it times like last night or at times when we play. Clearly, I felt like this was a measuring stick of a series, and man, it's been disappointing.
Well, it has
because
been.
It's as boring as it gets when your team, when your offense disappears.
But I think it also shows,
like world champion caliber pitching.
But here's what it shows when talking about Bryce. They don't need Bryce for one at bat. They need Bryce for five at bats. I mean, they're trying to get him ready for five at bats a game, and I can respect that. You know, that's what he's trying to work toward.
Yes.
But yes, could they have used him as a pinch hitter off the bench somewhere in there? Of course they could have. All right, look, let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. And in doing so, give you today a chance to win a $100 gift card to Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon with three locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, and Center City at the Lowe's Hotel. Make sure you visit them in person or online at josephanthony.com, where gift cards are available. That's right there, josephanthony.com. So you can react to the Sixers with the pick of Edgecombe last night and the Phillies' second straight loss with an absolute whimper with the bats, but another spectacular outing by a starting pitcher just completely wasted by a lineup that's hurting without Bryce. Let's put it that way. All right, so to get the gift card, what do you got to answer? Who blew it? Or what blew it? Why? Because Ace Bailey's approach to the draft, now it wasn't quite Shador Sanders-like, but it seems like, right, Henry? I mean,
very close.
Well, I don't know. Listen, this guy still went in the fifth pick.
He did.
That guy went in the fifth round.
Yeah.
So sometimes, but Ace Bailey may have been the third pick if he had had a different approach, may have, and by extension, it seems like cost himself a couple million bucks. Not as much as he could have if he fallen down to 8, 9, or 10, but he cost himself a couple million bucks over the span of a rookie contract. So he blew it. We'll ask you today from a non-sports standpoint, because we could all say a million sports things. The guy blew it, Belichick or Malcolm Butler, or did, you know, whatever. There's a lot of ways you can go in sports, Bill Buckner. But let's go non-sports. When you think of who blew it, or what blew it, in honor of Ace Bailey and a very odd approach that it seems like cost him some bucks. Like, John, when I think of someone who blew it, I don't even know his name, but the fifth Beatle. There was a guy who was like their buddy, practicing with the band. I don't know his name. I know that guy blew it.
Pete Best, maybe?
I think that's right.
That's
Like, that guy blew it because he could have become a freaking billionaire, and instead he's an answer at 625 in the year 2025 of who blew it. Dude, you blew it. Mm-hmm. John Ritchie, non-sports, and this goes for everyone, 215-592-9494. Non-sports, who blew it or what blew it?
Yeah, this really haunts me. I blew it.
Oh, no.
I told you guys growing up, My mom was a big, she was always the one who read the stuff at church. She did spelling bee, like the spelling bee at school. She would be the one who read the words. And then she even would do, remember they would put the spelling bee on TV and it was like statewide, it was broadcast. And she would be the reader sometimes. Yeah, sure. Or she would be one of the judges. And I felt like it was my destiny to be, to like live up to her, you know.
What,
like,
what did you get wrong?
Ooh.
What spell, what word did you
this
get
wrong?
This
was fifth grade. Let me set it up now. Like
formative?
Every year of elementary school, I'm dominating in the spelling bee. I study hard with my mom. We go over the words and stuff. We practice, but then I dominate. I'm a machine. And this is the last year of elementary school, fifth grade. I'm standing up there expecting to win again. And then next year, middle school, that's when it's like the big time. That's when it goes statewide, like my mom is doing the reading and stuff for. I'm thinking, this is my chance, you know, keep the record going. Nickel is the word.
No.
Nickel.
Oh, that's tough.
I spelled it like pickle.
Wow, the L-E instead of the E-L, huh? That's tough.
Wow.
And the moment I said it, I knew. The moment I said it, I knew. And I was crushed.
Oh, man.
Who knows where your life could have gone, you know?
All downhill.
That's funny. All these years, 9 years into the show, we didn't know that. Seltzer, like Napoleon saying, I'm going to take down Russia.
Oh, that's a pretty big answer.
Right? Napoleon going into Russia blew it. And again, everyone, 215-592-9494. Like John Ritchie and Nickel. Who or what blew it?
It's not quite Napoleon, but Billy Crystal blew it. Billy Crystal was offered, and you always say the easiest gig there is, just talk a bit, was offered the role of Buzz Lightyear, which Tim Allen has reportedly made over $20 million for his voicing, and Billy Crystal turned it down.
How about that? All right, that's blowing it. Rhea, who or what blew it?
And Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway announced the incorrect.
Oh, great answer.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. La La Land Moonlight. Nice.
Boy, you're not kidding. Hey,
I still don't understand how that happened.
No, I know the story.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, it was the best actress.
So here's what happened. The prior award was best actress. And both sides of the stage had the card, depending on where the person came out to receive the card. That the side of the stage Warren Beatty came out hadn't flipped the card from the prior award to the next award. Because that card hadn't been handed to the person prior coming onto that side from the stage. So the problem is it had the name of the movie
Emma Stone,
of the actress from the prior award. So he gets confused because he sees Emma Stone, but he sees the name of the movie and is like, I'm going with that movie, and it was the wrong movie. That's what happened.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
With the third pick in the 2025 NBA draft, the Philadelphia 76ers select VJ Edgecombe. From Bimini, Bahamas, and Baylor University.
All right, so Edgecombe to the 76ers. Your reaction. I thought it was exciting last night, and it was good to feel good about something with the Sixers. This guy seems to have the power of love.
And his family has the power of love, man.
Well, that's, yeah, exactly.
That was really cool.
It was really cool.
There was a wholesomeness to of it where, I don't know, sometimes Tyrese Maxey, it seems too good to be true.
Yeah, and McCain has that also.
You're right.
They really do.
And
all three of them.
From all I've seen, from all I can see, like the Tyrese Maxey stuff, it was real. Now, we did see his light sort of dampened a little bit.
I don't know what we did. I don't know about that. I'd say we saw his game hit a little bit of a limitation. I wouldn't say we saw his light dampen. Look, he stopped playing at a certain point. It's just
he's not brought down by those around him.
I did tell.
That was my concern
last
season.
I agree.
Now let's hope that VJ and the youthful positivity can overpower the veteran.
I used the word earlier, malaise.
Insolence. That malaise.
That impacts us. All right, let's get the calls going here. Where do you stand on the Edgecombe pick? And obviously the Phils after a second straight loss where their bats do a squat-a. To the phones, plus give us who or what blew it. You can win a $100 gift card, Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. And you know my motto, you can give it to someone else as a gift, or you can just keep it for yourself. Let's go to the phones. Dan in Philly knows my style. Good morning, Daniel.
I do know your style, Joe.
What's
every
up, buddy?
Every spa should have a bathtub.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Hey, first of all, I couldn't care less about the Sixers. So just let's get that out of the way.
No, I know going into the show there's going to be a number of people thinking that. And I get it. I get it. I mean, it's
The problem is still on the team. Yeah. You know,
I understand.
This kid's something to be excited about.
Though. I understand.
That's it is. The thing that's it is, but the problem and the culture is still on the team.
I totally understand and agree. Yep.
So hopefully that doesn't rub off on this kid who seems like he wants to work.
Yes.
And then he'll probably be told, you don't have to work. You know, whatever. As for the Phillies, like, I love my Phillies. I love my Eagles. I love my Sixers. I love my Flyers. But I think we have to be honest about this team just won't be able to win a World Series on who they are. I mean, the two pitching gems, right? And the eighth with the bases loaded and Boehm and Castellanos swinging for the fence. They have no they have no discipline. It's like you said earlier, John, put the bat on the ball. You do not have to hit a grand slam. Like, I just don't understand why they will not change their mentality at the plate.
Well, I think in many ways they have. I think you're getting to a different point. They're just not that good at that. Meaning, like, George Brett would be better at just putting the bat on the ball. I mean, think who you're asking to put the bat on the ball. I mean, we've seen enough of Castellanos to know what he is. We know, right? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I fundamentally disagree with your initial point, because you did, and you know I hate when people say it, you basically did the they can't win the World Series thing. And I just disagree with that. They may not, but I know this, they can. You can't win 90-something games every year and not be capable of winning the World Series. You can't. I can tell you can't do. You can't do that.
The pitching can, obviously. You know, 1-0. We all probably wouldn't even gave up a run last night. But it's almost like the Cole Hamels effect, right, with that team the 1 year. No matter how many gems he threw, they wouldn't support him.
I know.
So, you know, like in a series, they're not – I don't think they're capable of a prolonged series to consistently have an offensive.
Let me ask you a question. It might be a ridiculous question. I'm just going to ask it because it comes to mind. Is Aaron Judge capable of it?
Of what?
Winning a World Series.
I can't answer that, Joe.
Okay. Well, I know this. Here's my point. He's the best hitter in baseball. He is capable of it. He also stunk in October last year. I mean, really, really. James, what did he go? I mean, when I say October, especially at the end of that World Series.
I don't remember the exact numbers.
But it was a disaster.
Yeah. It was glaringly
like two
bad.
For 20 or yeah. one for 20 or.
And he's always struggled in the playoffs year after year.
Yeah.
After year.
So that's what I'm trying to get at, Dan. Like.
Aaron Judge, to me, it's the Phillies lineup when it comes to these things, except for Bryce. Like, they just, and Schwarber's great too, but it just, collectively as a lineup, there's something
fundamentally
wrong.
There are flaws.
Yeah, it's just,
I know.
I hope I'm wrong.
Segura.
All right, Dan, I need an answer, my man. Who or what blew it?
The 12 publishers that said no to J.K. Rowling.
Oh, that's an interesting answer.
Yeah, sure.
Wow. Was it only 12?
I don't know.
I thought he was going to say the one publisher said yes to Joe to camera, but you know.
That's great. By the way, we're going to have Fritz in here later. Let me just get this question out there now, because we get the five competitions, but let's get to number six. It's not an official part of the me versus Fritz thing, but when all is said and done, who will have sold more books?
Oh, yeah. This is the kind of competition I get down with right here.
Right?
Yeah.
In the end.
Who's going to hustle?
Who's going to sell more books?
We did just hear a commercial in the last break of Jack Fritz doing a book signing at a Joe Conklin event. So he's already out there getting it done.
So let me say this. I'm taking a big chance because while I'm giving, you know, the publisher obviously has to do their thing to get the book in stores, I too will take the lead on that in many ways. So 2 days ago, just to get the ball rolling, I purchased, because I can get them at a discount and then get them. I purchased 3,000 books.
Whoa!
So I'm putting your money where your mouth is. I'm putting my neck out there.
Your pen, right? Or your typing is.
I'm putting three.
Many?
Well, a lot of reasons. So first, I'm going to get them in late July or early August. The first thing I'm going to do is go straight down the shore. I'm going straight to every shore town, and I want to get it in like two or three stores in every shore town. two or three in Avalon, two and three in Stone Harbor, two and three in Wildwood. Like, I want to get it in, and I want to be where people are. That's like, so what I mean by that is, obviously.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Some people go into Barnes & Noble, but most people don't. Or if you do, maybe it's once a year. I want to go into the hoagie shops, in the pharmacies. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to, like, where people buy pizza. And if I can convince these store owners, like, hey, you get a cut, I get a cut. Here you go, buddy. Take 100 and sell them. So the first thing I'm going to do is straight down the shore. But then I'll do that same thing here. But obviously, I only have the month of August this year for the shore. That's my strategy. Is that... I mean, look, sure. It's a little risky.
Yeah.
It's a little risky.
Well, you're just going to walk into stores?
I'm just going to walk into stores. And I may hire people, Ray. I really might. I might hire people and say, you know, we'll three-way cut this. Me, the person I hire, the store owner, and someone can
profits
run wild.
Profits are going down as you talk.
No, I know. But I just figure if I hustle, I got a shot. All right, Edgecombe, Rhea, what do you think? What do you make of it?
So, you had mentioned something earlier. It was my complete thinking. As soon as I saw that, because you had heard that he had interviewed really well, that they said he was nervous, but they liked him. I immediately said the Sixers were scarred by the Ben Simmons experience. Very talented, extraordinarily entitled. And this guy's about as far from entitled as you could comment.
As is McCain and Maxey.
Yes.
They both, all three of them seem wired the right way.
Well, all you need to know about that is Maxey, I never forget Doc Rivers saying we've had to throw him out of the gym.
Yeah.
Like the day after they were out of the playoffs, he wanted to come in and work out, and they're like, no. Whereas Joel Embiid, you know, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, that the ownership entitled them too much in the beginning of their career.
Yeah.
It's why Embiid doesn't show up on time for stuff. They want to have a different kind of kid.
And that may have been why they didn't draft Ace Bailey.
Yeah, and that's why I think.
Now, I will say this. To me, there's two different things on the Ace Bailey thing. One is how he chose to go about pre-draft process.
And I think that was the people who were advising
him. It might be.
Because everything you've heard about him is he's a good kid.
Well, if he is, and if he's going to work, then they could have... Like, let me get to something Stephen A. said. I fundamentally disagree with something Stephen A. said last night. This was right before the Sixers made the pick. I don't agree with him on this. Listen to Stephen A. right before the Sixers pick.
Let's talk about what they shouldn't do and what they can't do, which I teased on SportsCenter.
Yes, he did.
This guy Bailey, that refused to work out for anybody. We don't know. We don't want to blame him. But in the end, you're a young man, and your leadership, your representation is telling you not to work out for people. You can't be the team that had the process and you were throwing seasons for years. You can't be the team that had Ben Simmons that just spent the number one pick on. And we all know his story. We'll be nice tonight. Because it's the NBA draft, it's about these kids. It's not about him. But the kind of stuff that happened with him, you can't then turn around and ask the Philadelphia public, oh, we going to take a dude that we didn't get to work out, that we didn't get to interview, that we didn't get to talk to or anything like that. That can't be who you spent a number three pick on.
So I disagree with him. I think it can be. If you think he's going to have the best career. Now, if you think that what he exhibited in the last couple weeks is a pain in the assness that's going to define his next 10 years, then that's a reason not to pick him. That is a reason not to pick him, if there's an entitlement there and that sort of thing. But if you feel like it's a one-off that he got bad advice, but will actually roll up his sleeves and ball out and try his hardest, then that is a reason to pick him. So I don't agree with Stephen A.'s fundamental point that he was essentially off the table for the Sixers because of the way he went about it and because of the way the Sixers would perceive how fans would perceive it. I don't agree with Stephen A. on that. But we'll take your thoughts. I mean, we've all been through the process. We've all been through 7 years where they made the playoffs but lost essentially in the second round almost every year. And then we were all through the train wreck of last year. John, is Stephen A. right or wrong when he put it that way?
I'm just sitting here trying to figure out, is there an NBA team that is able to have success while doing it, while putting their foot down and preventing their players from acting like impetuous, spoiled.
So
brats.
Maybe the best example would be the Spurs. And when Pop tried to do it to Kawhi Leonard, Kawhi Leonard's like, I want to be out of here. And then Pop's like, all right, I got to trade you. Because he had three guys wired the right way in Duncan,
yep.
Parker, and Ginobili.
And he was tough on them.
He was tough on them, and they accepted it, and they were willing to deal with it. And it created the best culture in the NBA.
So that's the
probably
last time
this, probably
this
century. Yeah.
That's the last time it worked. Kawhi
until it didn't
was no longer complicit, so they had to move him
pretty much,
and now that's the story.
And they bought him down.
Would not be complicit with this idea of discipline and, you know, like just consistent. I don't know. I can't believe I'm calling it old school to be like early and like working hard and
seems
doing
normal
all that sort
to
of
do
thing.
That kind
it
of
does,
stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you just
the job.
Yeah. You
like,
show
did
be professional.
The job change?
Professional.
Like being a professional athlete. I thought that was you were separating yourself by your work ethic and how hard you were willing to push yourself. That's part of it. That's part of the deal. And it doesn't feel like that is no long. It feels like that part's no, not even part of the requirement.
Well, I will say this: it's nice.
Sign it off.
It's nice to have someone, based on everything we saw last night, who seems to check the boxes the right way on those categories.
Absolutely,
right?
The young guys that we have, it feels like they're looking at this the right way,
and
they're going to work hard.
Yeah, and let's not act like he's not considered a really good player as well. Let's listen to Bob Myers. So, I think this Bob Myers guy is unbelievable. I'd move Maury out in 5 seconds and hire this guy 1 second later. I mean, this Bob Myers guy, I think, is so impressive. He built the Warriors. He was all over the ABC coverage last night. I think the guy's unbelievable. He's a free agent GM. He's available. And he had some glowing things to say right after the pick about Edgecombe.
This is somebody that if you talk to people in the NBA, they talk about his character. They talk about his work ethic. He shot 39 from three. He can play defense already. He's probably arguably the best athlete in the draft. And he's a guy that you could say, if you're talking about a culture guy, Edgecombe fits that bill. He's a hardworking guy. He's a look-in-the-eye guy. He's a guy that is a leader. And he did everything they asked him to do in college. And he's a guy that was rated high, and he delivered.
All right. All right,
looky-in-the-eye guy. I love that.
I like that, too.
I might start using that. That's strong.
Right.
What a good way to put it.
But we also know, James, what matters most.
Yeah, he's good.
Got to be able to play.
Of course.
Got to be able to really play.
Joe, your Bob Myers to the Sixers thing, there's a way
to do
that.
The Josh Harris connection?
Yeah, he's a consultant with the Commanders. Right. You should walk down the hallway and talk to him.
Totally agree. I thought he was, if you saw the coverage last night, I'm curious if you agree, I thought he was phenomenally impressive. I mean, look, we've seen him for a year on TV. Maybe it's 2 years with ESPN and ABC coverage. But really watching him as extensively as I did last night, I thought that guy is awesome. Let's go to Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Really feel excited about the BJ Edgecombe trade. I had a huge fear that they were going to try to pull some holy bleep moment and reach for a guy. But I'm just so glad that They didn't try to outsmart themselves.
Well, let me tell you something on that, Ed. I get the impression that they were trying to make a trade up until right before the pick, because Edgecombe said last night after the pick, he was only told 15 seconds before the pick that they were about to take him. And that tells me that they were actively exploring possibilities, which is fine. Which is what they should do.
They might have just been waiting for the last minute for a call. Like,
of
just
course.
Take every second you have.
Right.
Why not?
Right. But, Ed, my point, like, Ed, here was something that was a scary proposition on the table. And I'll say this, it might have been a smart move, but it would have been an irritating move. There was an argument to trade the third pick along with Paul George's contract just to dump his contract. Like, you know, like that, and that would have been so annoying. If we as a fan base had to suffer through the disaster of this past season and then had to like almost give up the pick just to get out of the contract to be able to sign someone else, but then you don't really get the value of the third pick. Because if you remember, Ed, like 5 years ago, they had to trade a first-round pick. It wasn't the third overall, but they had to trade a first-round pick to dump the Al Horford contract. Which, ironically, because it ended up in the top six, they got to keep the pick. But it was supposed to essentially be gone. Those things happen sometimes.
Yeah, and the other thing on the whole pick, after Bailey got picked, they showed it was just a screenshot or a shot of him, and it looked like he just ate a rancid clam. He had such a puss on his face for the Jazz having picked him. I guess they weren't on his short list of teams, and I just sort of took a breathed a sigh of relief that we didn't get that guy. We don't have to deal with another, you know, aloof talent that doesn't want to be here.
Yeah, so the whole thing is really odd, because I'll tell you, man, when he was interviewed before the draft, along with Dylan Harper, I thought he seemed like a great guy. He was affable. And then that moment with his reaction was strange. I don't know what he wanted. Like, you remember in the notebook at the end, Ed, when Noah and Allie are talking, and Noah says to Allie, "What do you want?" And then she doesn't really, and he's like, what
he
do you,
to not talk about the notebook.
What do you want? Right? Well, that's what I wanted to shake Ace Bailey and say, dude, what do you want? You want to be the eighth pick? You want to be the sixth pick? You want to be the 10th? Like, what do you want? I don't know what the guy wanted.
He wanted to go to Washington, New Orleans, or was it Atlanta? I mean, that's what ESPN was reporting last night.
And so Utah wasn't part of the plan?
Utah was not part of the plan, so he did not look happy about it.
Well,
and that's
I'm pretty sure Utah is not part of anyone's plan the issue.
All right, Ed, I need an answer, buddy. Who or what blew it? Like Ace Bailey, it seems like.
How about when Steve Harvey announced the wrong Miss Universe?
You got it, man. That's a big one as well. 215-592-9494. Come on, someone out there has got to give me bonus points. It's a notebook fan for the NBA draft notebook analogy.
There's no one in the history of mankind that would have connected those two.
What do you want? Allie, what do you want? All right, 215-592. Damn it! What do you want? That's what he says.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.